And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in our broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke 18. Verse number 18, we've already gone down to verse 23, but I want to read through 23 to pick up the thought afterwards. It says here in Luke 18:18, a certain ruler asked him, that is Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he, the young ruler, said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So our Lord Jesus, in love and compassion, tells this man what he needs. He's admittedly saying that I'm not at peace by keeping the commandments. There's something. I lack something. What lackest I yet? And he says here, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Eternal life is what he wants to lay hold of. Jesus, in a nutshell, tells him in a nutshell, this world will not do it, but you lack the one thing that will, and that is me. Come follow me. The young man, he can't get over the doing away and the giving away of his goods. It says here he's very rich, and he went away very sorrowful. Very rich and very sorrowful at the answer of what it is that he lacked. To know he has eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. Verse number 24, and when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" It's a declaration that he makes. How hardly? He said it's a very hard thing for the wealthy. For the wealthy that has ability, power, influence, no lack, no need. How hardly do they enter into the kingdom of God? It's an exclamation point that's there at the end of that verse and sentence. He says, oh, it's a difficult thing. He says here, for it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye, and a needle's eye rather, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's an interesting statement in it. There's much debate about this. Many think that it's relative to a gate that's there at Jerusalem, the needle's eye that a camel would have to get down on its haunches, its knees, to be able to shuffle through this gate. I'm of the opinion it means exactly what it's written, a sewing needle. Even if it would be a very coarse needle for weaving of wool and such as that, a coarse woven garment. He said it's easier for a camel to go through that needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it, verse 26 said, who then can be saved? They know that it's impossible. See, it's possible for that camel to go through that short gate, that low gate. That can be done every day. But these that are here listening to what the Lord Jesus said, they said, well, who can be saved? They're not saying, I don't gather, they're not saying that, that it's rare for that camel to go through that needle's eye gate. They're saying, well, a camel can't get through a sewing needle. Who can be saved? Who is there that can be saved? Who then can be saved? Here's the answer, and it's just it's the same thing right along the line of what this young man, this rich young ruler, inquired about and what the Lord Jesus told him. Who then can be saved? Verse 27, and Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You know, we yet live in a day and I hate to use the term, let me say it this way. We live in a day of recipe salvation. Do you know about that? Have you heard about that? Did they have that at your church, recipe salvation? Follow the steps, 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me, sign this card, hold up your hand, make a pledge, recipe salvation, incantation unto salvation, say these words and mean them in your heart and you'll be saved. Listen, sinners are saved through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and conviction that is brought upon them by that in the Spirit of God. And you know what? Men just don't need to meddle in that part of it or think that they can meddle in it. We cannot meddle in it because, see, who can be saved? It's impossible with men. Do you hear that? It's impossible with men for men to be saved. Listen to what Jesus says. He said that it's easier for a man, it's easier for a camel to enter, to go through the needle, a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 26, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? They said, all are limited from being saved, if that's the case. Now, let's get this straight. Does Jesus lie? No, never. Never has lied, never will lie, and never has lied, and doesn't lie, and never will lie, will he? Okay, who then can be saved? He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Salvation of souls is impossible with men. Mark it down. See, understand, we are depraved. And as I mentioned last time, when God told Adam that when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day that he would eat of it, he would surely die. We know full well by the account in Genesis that Adam didn't drop down dead when he ate of the fruit, because he was alive to hide from God when God came down to visit in the cool of the day. And so, we know that 900 and some years later he died physically, and he started the clock when he took of that fruit. But immediately, as Lord said, and the more important death is that he spiritually died. And dead is dead. Spiritual death is spiritual death. Brother Jim, who can be saved? I tell you what, it's possible with God. And it's possible with God in God's way. And what is God's way? God's way is to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's not enough to get anybody saved, for anybody to be saved, for us to convince someone to be saved. I tell you what, it's not up to us to convince them. It's up to us to preach them the Lord Jesus Christ, having come, lived, suffered, bled, and died, buried, and risen again, in substitution for sinners that are dead in trespasses and sins and far and separated from God. Who then can be saved? He said, the things which are impossible with men, the salvation of souls, are possible with God. Give me my Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, rather than some person going around with a recipe of salvation or an incantation of salvation. Give me Jesus and him crucified, buried, and risen again for me, for the poor, wretched, condemned, wicked sinner that is Jim. Peter, in this next verse, Peter wants to go into something here. And he wants to deal with a thing that's evidently on his mind. And he's looked at this rich young ruler and how this man is not willing to, at this point, sell his goods and give it to the poor and followed Jesus and have the one that he needs for the granting to him of eternal life. Peter says in verse number 28, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. In other accounts in the gospel, he says, and what shall we have? Lo, we have left all and followed thee, and what shall we have? See, he's looking on at that rich young ruler, and he saw what that man didn't do today at the command of Jesus, because it wasn't a suggestion. Jesus commanded him to do it, but he didn't. And Peter's thinking about, you know what? I was back there at my boat, and Jesus came around. I was there with my brother and my dad and our help from fishing. And Jesus came around. Jesus came around and told me to let down that net, and we caught that multitude of fishes. And Jesus said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I went. I went. This man didn't go. But I went. Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have? And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life after everlasting. Wow. See, here we have here really an introduction to the economy of our Lord. An introduction to the economy of our Lord. And I tell you what, the economy of our Lord is a wonderful, wonderful thing. There's nothing better than the Lord's economy that he, in the way that he operates. He says, have you left, Peter, the most precious things of life? What's he say? There is no man that has left house. People work all their lives for their house. And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. For parents, have you left your parents to go as Peter did? Or brethren, no doubt there with his brother, he might have had some, or with his father, there in the fishing business, there may have been some younger brethren. Or wife, probably left his wife back at Capernaum for a time that he might be on the road with Jesus. Sometimes, no doubt, his wife was with him, speaking of Peter. Or children, same thing. They were young. They needed to stay home there in Capernaum or Bethsaida, however that was. I get those brethren cities mixed up. He said, you left this for the kingdom of God's sake? So there is no man that have left these things, verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life after everlasting. I tell you what, it's what Jesus does. Peter, James, and John, our brethren that became the Lord's apostles, those there in the first church as they went about, as Jesus was leading them and as he was teaching them and his ministry was being performed and pursued right there in front of their eyes, they never had lack of anything. They increased in those that they met, and those that were saved, and those that became their brothers in Christ, and their sisters in Christ. The things of the world that were necessary for the time by those saints that they ran into and came in contact with was at their disposal for the need that they had. May God help us, and we struggle with this. Indeed, but we must live day to day, and we must know that our Lord will provide. And you know what? If the children of God have a thing, and their hearts are right, and everybody's heart is right, and understanding about things, you know what? There's not a brother or sister that wouldn't lend or help their brother and sister in need with the things that they have in life that the other, the first, doesn't have. The Lord's economy is we get more than we could ever have on our own. And in the world to come, life everlasting. That's what the rich young ruler was asking about in the first place, wasn't it? Everlasting life. The Lord is everlasting life. I see our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.